This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
What's the most amount of money you've ever spent on something? That's not like a bill or like a plane ticket or like a travel expense.
Probably like my apartment.
You know that's not what I mean. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like an item? Why would you say that?
Like an item.
Well, I just bought Drake tickets, okay? And I think...
He doesn't want to talk about
I think it's the most expensive thing I've bought yet.
Right.
I'm trying to think of something that I've spent more on. I don't think there is.
You know, concert tickets, like, I will never understand why they're so expensive. Like, people spend their year's worth of pay on a concert ticket. I will never understand the hype. Maybe when I'm rich and famous, that's like what I can splurge on.
I know you love concerts. You know why people spend money on concerts.
I get it. But it's like, I don't get spending like $3,000.
Well, I don't think people who are spending $3,000 only have $3,000. If they do, you're a silly boy.
Yeah.
But I think people that are spending $3,000 got more than that. But yeah. I spent a heavy basketball on this one. I spent a good amount on this one.
What'd you spend on this one? You want to share? Drop some digits.
Spent $500.
Oh, wow. Well, your mom's proud listening to this one, huh?
Yeah, mom. I'm going to be out of town in 3 months.
Wow. But
I'm a big Drake guy. You know what's actually really funny? I used to hate Drake, like, so much. Because when I was in high school, I was getting really into rap music and hip hop. And I was always like, Drake's not a rapper. Drake's not real rap. Drake's not.
When you were in your Drake's era of
Eminem.
I'm not like other boys.
I was like, he's not even a rapper. He's a R&B artist. He's a singer. So I hated him for a long time. But I remember when that changed. I was at this music festival when I was like 16. It was this music festival that was only in Orlando. It was called Life in Color. And I went, and I was in like, those were like peak me hating Drake. But it was right when his "Running Through a Six with My Woes" when that song came out.
Classic 2016.
And they played that song at this music festival, and everybody's screaming, and I'm like fighting back, singing along. I'm like, and then when the drop came, I was like, you know what? It's not that bad. So that's when it shifted. So. Shout out Life in Color. Don't think you're in business anymore, but you changed my life.
All right. Anyway, welcome back to our podcast. It's called Difficult Dish, podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am Mahua.
I'm Mosh Noon. And she has a new name now. Her name is Blue Badge Mahua.
Who says that?
Yeah, you know why.
Yeah, a lot of people are coming at people for getting the blue badge on Instagram because they're paying for it now.
Yeah, but they don't have 56 billion followers like you.
No, the thing is, like, it benefits people with the business like me.
Ah, you know? Yeah, you do.
Business woman. It's not like I'm a...
Don't get it twisted. She not no regular degular.
Before we get started, make sure to follow us on our Instagram. It's at Difficult Dish, and our TikTok at Difficult Dish Podcast. And don't even get started in listening to our podcast before you rate and review us. Give us a 5-star. Like, we'll give you a second.
If you're listening right now, you haven't rated us, listen. My little cousin and her nephew, they're both geeks, okay? They're both really into computers. And we're going to hire both of them to find your IP address.
My baby cousin
is 12.
And
we're going to torment you guys for not rating us and reviewing us and saying nice things about us. Follow us. Hello?
Yeah.
Difficult Dish Instagram is at Difficult Dish.
We already did that. We did an episode last week about what South Asian men could do better. And, you know, before we even started that episode, we knew that we needed to do a part two because there was just so much that we had to get through and we got so many responses where basically our Instagram account broke, right? So we told you guys that we would only do a part two if you requested it and you really wanted it. And so, lo and behold, we got a lot of responses again to telling us to do a part two, and you guys gave even more responses on what South Asian men can do better. So this is our part two, and this time around, we're not going to do a whole introduction and, you know, beginning of our whole history with the men in our lives and why we think they are the way they are because of society and cultural norms. We already did that in the last episode, so if you didn't listen to that yet, go listen to that. But this episode, we're going to go through some more responses, and we're going to give our take on it, and also how they can be better on top of what they can be better in, you know?
If you're listening and you haven't listened to part one, first, are you sick? Why would you purposely press part two not listening to part one? You're actually sick for that. You're sick, like, individual.
Listening backwards.
Go listen to part one. Why would you do that? Go listen to that one.
It's actually a really funny episode. I was cackling away.
Yeah, I was on one. It was all the fasting, all the dehydration was getting to me.
And also, who's your... what were you about to say?
No, what are you going to say?
I'm scared of what you're about to say. No, but as we said in the last episode, this is, again, a disclaimer for all the hurt men that are going to come in the comments saying, not all men. You know, I'm not like that. So I don't know why you're generalizing. We aren't generalizing. We're just talking about society as a whole and the culture as a whole. And we're trying to, you know... talk about the taboo nature of the toxic men, the society. We're not talking about every single person, but we're talking about majority. And if the shoe fits, it fits, right? We're not talking about you if you're not doing these things, but if you're hurt about it, then it's probably something that you're doing wrong.
I also think some guys might be hurt because they feel like the good guys don't get represented too much.
Maybe I think we'll make that an episode happens to about me. That.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it hurts me, but I'm often in my head, I'm like, man, like, you know, I think I'm pretty good. I wish, like, more, like, good guys would be, like, you know, acknowledged sometimes. So, you know, we could do an episode in regards to, like, saying that, talking about good experiences we've had with, like, men in our lives. I know there's not too many, but we're here. And you can just talk about me for the whole episode.
Yeah, it'll just be, like, a Mashoon Stan episode.
Yeah, we could talk about... I got you some stuffed cheesy bread.
Yeah.
That was good, right? I actually got a coupon. I didn't even tell you. I got like a $6 off coupon for that.
Wow.
I looked up like Domino's coupons and I found like a $6 off coupon.
Just a random day? Wow. Just a random thing?
God bless
Google. It's your lucky day.
You know? I have an important question.
Right.
Who's your favorite male animated character,
like cartoon,
ever, cartoon from a movie, if you want to go with like Buzz Lightyear, if you want to go with goddamn Ferb, it could be anybody.
Not even Phineas, just Ferb.
Yeah,
can't really think of one. Huh, what's yours? I know you have a question. I know you have an answer in your mind.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Ah, of course.
You know why? He's the I feel like I have so much in common with him.
Right.
Like, he's like a real deal hustler. Like, you know how much he loves his job. Like, he gets to the bag. Me.
That's true.
Second, like, he's dripped out. Like, he's always like swagged out. Like, he always has like a nice calm fit on, you know, and like he got like a best friend that's like dumber than him, cuz like he's always like the smart one. That's me.
He's the definition of not a toxic South Asian man.
Right.
Yeah.
Where are my SpongeBobs at? Stand up. Okay. How do we start off this episode?
So let's just get into it, right? So as you guys know, we ask you guys the question on our Instagram story and you send in your responses. So we got a few responses this week about what else we need to touch on for this subject. Someone said, this might have been mentioned, but they could stop saying the N-word and call out their friends.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy because there are so many New York City, especially brown boys, still saying this word. Like, they're they're everywhere, but like, I don't know why it's like especially an epidemic in New York City.
I mean, you know why it's so heavy in New York.
Right. I know why, but it's like in this big day, big age.
Everybody is living in their own little worlds. I don't know. Obviously, like, we hear it from New York because apparently everything in New York is the hood. I guess so.
If your boy is saying the N-word, like, what would you say?
To, like, I remember this one time specifically. I was at a latte art competition and a white kid said it.
A like, white so kid confident. Said it at a
so
latte
confident. Ad? So I was like, yo, like, he said it in a way, because I think people say it in different ways. He said it in a way as in, like, I could tell that him and all of his white friends say it and they've just never been around colored people. Like, I can understand that was where he was coming from. I think the guys in New York, they're like, oh, like, I grew up with black guys. That's their perspective. The perspective of this guy is, like, they've never seen anybody, like, colored, so they've never had anybody tell them not to say it.
Right.
So I remember that shit, and I called him out in front of every single person, and I had everybody looking, and he looked stupid, and he was like, oh, is that this serious? He's like, oh, you're not even black. Why are you... Relax.
Yeah, I don't know why people think that they have the right to say it just because they grew up in the hood. And it's like, you can't call them out because you're not black. That doesn't make any sense. And they're like, oh, but I have black friends. Hello? So what? Some of them need to low-key reparent their fathers because they will never listen to the daughter.
Reparent their fathers because they'll never listen.
Like, you know those people.
Can you break that down? Sorry, I'm like trying to compute.
You know those traditional parents that just like stay traditional and like, you would hope that they become more open-minded over the years, but they actually just stay, like, strict and traditional. Like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, last night I just finished DDLJ on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been the iconic Bollywood movie with Shah Rukh Khan and Kajol. And it's like, a classic, right? And I watched it for the first time ever, which is crazy. And, like, if you guys watch the movie, you can see that, like, the father is very strict. He's telling his daughter that she has to marry this man that she's never met. And she tells him that she met a guy, but, like, he doesn't want to hear that. And he's just very strict. Like, even though he knows that his daughter is going to be unhappy, he still wants to force her to marry this person that she's never met. And it's just, like, it's still like that for so many people. Like, even though you want them to accept who you want to marry or they accept your life, a lot of dads are very hard-headed when it comes to the daughter, and they're letting their son do whatever they want. So it's like, this person is asking you, or like asking men, to speak up on the daughter's or their sister's behalf instead of just letting them stay like strict with only the daughters. Is that broken down enough for you?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about that last episode.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish parents realized that, like, 16-year-old boys are, like, 20 times as dumb as, like, a 16-year-old girl. It's like, they don't even realize that. It's like, oh, my daughter can't go outside. What is your son doing? God forbid you figure out what your son is doing. And 99% of the time, the boy is much more wild than the girl. The boy will put himself in the worst circumstances, thinking that he's the man and nothing's gonna happen to him. And a lot of boys learn really badly from those mistakes that a lot of parents don't even know about because they don't share them with their parents. So I wish parents knew how wild a teenage boy is compared to a teenage girl. All a teenage girl wants to do is, correct me if I'm wrong, she want to goddamn go get some ice cream at 10 p.m. She want to go on a little like highway drive. A little highway drive to the beach with her friends at midnight, and she wanna goddamn have a sleepover and just talk until 2 a.m. and whatever she wanna do is much more wild than what a boy wants to do. So these parents just gotta have some more broad eyes.
Yeah, man, and it gotta be the brothers that talk to them instead of just letting it slide. So someone said that something that South Asian men can do better is just working on their internalized sexism.
Ramadan.
So that means like also not wanting their wives or their sisters to make more money than them.
Oh my god.
Why is it that men get hurt when like their partners are making more money than them? Or like if they're working even?
I mean, if you have a problem with your wife working, that's just crazy. I mean, I think when like you have kids and depending on like the job, like if you have like a strenuous job and if I make enough to where the family will be fine if you quit your job, I would probably prefer you to quit your job since you will have more time with the family, you will have more time at home, you will be less stressful, and I'm able to take care of everything. So I think in that sense, I would probably push my wife to quit her job, especially if like she's not enjoying it.
Yeah,
if
she wants to quit it and she's not enjoying her job. Not like forcefully.
I think if it's in a sense of, yeah, that's there. Obviously, that's not cool. That's just weird. But I think most guys will have an issue of their woman making more money than them, because I think it just creates like a different power dynamic in the relationship. At least it can, if like the man isn't comfortable enough in his own skin, if he's insecure about the fact that his woman is making more money. I think most of it comes down to insecurity, and then I think there are also like just level-headed men that know that, you know, maybe if their woman is making more money, it might create like a power trip in the relationship. Mm. And whether they're like not used to that, they don't know how to navigate that, they just want to take like the safe route, whatever it is, every relationship is different, whatever. I personally do not care if you make more money than me, as long as like I'm still doing something successful.
Mm.
I think I wouldn't have a problem with it. I would have a problem with myself. That like that needs to be said. I wouldn't have a problem with you. Like when you become a super mega millionaire star and I'm a bus boy, then there's a problem, right? But if I'm also doing something that I'm successful in, maybe I don't make as much as you, but I'm still making something of myself, and maybe if it's in a different, you know, realm, if I'm in like the writing world and I've become like a popular writer, like that's something that is still successful in my eyes.
You want both
like,
parties doesn't always to, have be to be striving towards success.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there we see relationships where the men and women both work. I personally know, like, one of my coworkers, we're talking about like what where we see ourselves in like the next 2 to 3 years. She was like, yeah, like I don't want to work anymore in like another year or two. Like I want to be like a stay-at-home mom. And like she's engaged now. Like her fiance is like a realtor and is like starting to build his career, and hopefully they're at a place where she can quit her job. So like there are like, and I don't even want to minimize it to a few. Like I'm sure that like a good amount of women are okay with being house, and the term housewife has like a weird negative connotation to it. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just like, you know, I feel like the majority of women feel the longing to have kids and be a mother and take care of their loved ones. You know, women are very nurturing, they're very endearing, they want to take care of things. I think that's just in their nature. So I think in a relationship, when a woman could make more than the man, I think a man, obviously there's the toxic men who are just insecure, then there might be men that are like, oh, like if she's working a lot, she's not gonna have as much time with like our kids, she's not gonna have as much time with her family, you know, she's gonna be super stressed out. So there's like different avenues to it. Obviously if you're toxic and you're insecure that your girlfriend's making more money than you, make more money. Like, what's like, save that energy and put that energy into getting to the bag, not getting mad at your girlfriend.
Really roots from traditional times when, you know, the man is the only one that's working and the woman is kind of expected to be the housewife and stay at home and be the caretaker, and the woman not knowing much about money because the husband takes care of it is kind of at the husband's expense, so they are kind of being manipulated and controlled by the husband. And we've seen this in so many of our families where the women don't really know anything about money. You know, it's kind of like they're depending completely on their husbands. They don't really have a job. They don't know how to handle finances. Their savings and their money is just like all under their husband's name. So I think that's the root of this issue, where I feel like a lot of South Asian men and brown men feel like they can't control their partners anymore because like there are women out there that are financially independent and they can potentially make more than the men. And I think it roots from like, yeah, them seeing, I mean, their father like that.
I I don't think that has an effect on people our age, depending on like the level of conservatism in the house. But I think most guys our age nowadays are more concerned with just like being insecure that your woman is independent and making money. It's just based out of insecurity, not out of like, oh, we have to follow traditional norms. Like, you're not in the 1800s. Like, I don't know. Before we move on, I have a confession to make.
Oh gosh, what is it?
When I was 18, I spent the last $200 in my bank account to buy a designer wallet just to lose it at the mall a week later. And ever since that day, I don't know if you know, but I've lived in a perpetual state of fear that I'm going to lose my wallet again, I'll be honest. But not anymore. You all know why? Because the amazing people over at Exter were generous enough to gift me their beautiful, trackable wallet. And now, I can sleep good at night.
Exter is known for inventing the first trackable wallet, and now they're helping you upgrade the rest of your carry essentials. Their wallets are super slim, have quick card access, and built-in RFID protection for data theft. They're sustainable and eco-friendly, and they're trackable.
Wow. Literally, my life has changed ever since I got this wallet. I cannot tell you how many wallets I've lost in my life. I lost count.
Exter has a variety of amazing products to choose from, whether it's their premium vegan leather wallets, their aluminum and carbon fiber card holders, or even just their solar-powered tracking cards if you lose everything like my fellow Mashun here.
Guys, not only is Exter running their anniversary sale right now to get up to 25% off a bunch of their products, but if you click the link in our description, you get an additional discount on top of that with code difficultish. Say with me, code
difficultish,
which is automatically applied at checkout. So if you got a brother's birthday that's coming up, a boyfriend's birthday that's coming up, want to get an early Father's Day gift, or if you just want to check out what you can get for yourself, please check out our episode description for our personalized link to Exter's storefront.
Thank you so much to Exter for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. All right, so someone said something that South Asian men can do better is just talk about periods more openly. And I feel like this is so interesting because, like, this is such a hush-hush topic in front of men in South Asian culture. Like, when we talk about periods in my house with my mom, like, starts whispering. And, like, even, like it's just, like, in front of my brother especially, it's like she'll talk in sign language. And it's like, what's the need for that? It's like, we all know that periods are a thing. We all know that, like, you know, like, even if I have to go shopping for, like, underwear, like, it's hush hush. And it's like everyone wears underwear. So why is that, like, a secret? I feel like that just increases the taboo nature.
I mean, why do you think it is?
I just think anything bodily related is something that you shouldn't talk about, you know, according to, like, our traditional history. But I don't think that should still be the case now, you know? I don't have conversations, but I'm open to say, like, oh, yeah, I have my period. Like, I have cramps right now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's pretty normal, saying you're on your period or saying you have cramps.
I don't think it's not because, like, imagine, like, even if you're not fasting during Ramadan and, like, you can, like, you're not praying, obviously, like, there's something happening, right? Either you're sick, either you have your period, or, like, whatever it is. If an uncle asks you, like, oh, aren't you fasting today? It's kind of like, you can't say, like, oh, I have my period. You kind of have to say, like, oh, I'm not feeling well today, uncle. Like, why you gotta say all that, you know?
What would you rather have? Like, what would you want the ideal world to be like for periods?
I want the next generation to be more open about the fact that we can have that initial conversation where I don't have to, like, beat around the bush and be like, oh, yeah, I'm sick. Where it's like, if a man asks me, like, if they do have to ask me, like, oh, why aren't you praying? Or, like, why aren't you fasting? Or, like, why aren't you participating in the sport? I can just, like, outright say, like, I have my period. And it's not something that I have to, you know, not, like, lie about, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So someone says something that South Asian men can do better is call out their family members or community when they speak negatively about women's bodies. Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of people fat shaming nowadays, just like casually fat shaming, talking about a girl's skin color, and they just expect you to laugh along, ha ha ha, to just keep the peace.
Back when, like, I used to go to, like, Melas and whatever, there used to always be comments about like how dark somebody is or how tall somebody is. That's a weird one. Like she's so tall. Like good. Like why yeah, is being tall like, about?
That's an insult if you're tall.
And it's like they're not even tall. They're literally like 5'5". Right. Like, they're like 5'6". Oh, tall. But I never got it. Like because the only place that I saw that happen was like at these Melas, and like I didn't go to too many, so I didn't even have like a full understanding, but like I feel like in my high school, like I never really experienced like racism or like anything like color, like anything about like my skin color, because I feel like my high school was super diverse and just the area I grew up in is very diverse. It wasn't until I started working in like white people areas when I realized that like okay, like there's a difference. I used to always think that they were literally just like joking. Like I didn't realize there was an actual like serious unlikeness of somebody that was like taller or darker or bigger. For me it was just like they're all just women. Like
it's interesting, I feel like a lot of community members and family members usually tell these insults to the woman in the family, kind of like a competition type of thing, like oh she's darker and taller, like you know, mm-hmm. you should insult her with me, and also you're lighter than her. Like it's kind of like a they're only targeting these comments to the other woman. That's why I feel like a lot of the men don't really know about these comments because they don't get told these comments.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I think it only comes up really when like they're about to get married and they're like, yeah, like she's darker. So like maybe we should go for like a fair skinned woman, you know? So that's why I feel like it doesn't really correlate to you and like how you were impacted. But it was a big part of like my life, you know.
I will never understand like somebody being less than for just being dark, like for just being darker,
just for being born,
for just being born
having their being parents' born genetics a little
more south, being born like 2 hours south of you in India is like now because you were born there and you had that much sun exposure, right. And you have those genetics.
How dare you?
I don't care about anything else about
right.
you.
You know, someone said, I couldn't find the response, but someone said something that these men can do better is not accepting all of the affection and compliments they get when they do something bare minimum. How do you feel about that?
Wait, say that again, say that again.
It was so hard for me to think about that. Now I gotta say it again.
Sorry.
Like,
sorry, I didn't really
something
understand.
That they have to do better is not accepting all of the compliments and affection that they get from other people, especially their moms, for doing the bare minimum. When, like, their sisters can be doing, like, pulling the whole world in back and carrying the whole world on their shoulders and they get no affection or recognition, whereas their brothers pick up a leaf and then they get recognition.
A lot of these boys, and that's what makes lazy boys.
And they eat it up, like, too. Oh. They eat it up. They're like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they go tell their friends, yeah, I did so much today.
Yeah.
Their friends are like, oh, what you do? Yeah, I folded my clothes. Oh, and what else? Oh, that's it. I didn't do anything else.
All I did today was, mom said I picked up the broom, and that's all I did. I didn't clean. I just picked it up. It's just like a lot of these mama's boys and a lot of these mamas, like, hate their daughters. But give so much affection to their sons sometimes. And like they're giving them so much validation for doing a simple chore. And then their sons eat it up. It's just crazy how the cycle just goes on and on. So someone said what these men should do better is question their parents when they set different rules for their sisters. For example, like washing dishes or different curfews or whatever it is. Mm. Yeah.
Did you have that?
Yeah, I had that. I mean, I talked about it before. You know, my brother was allowed to go to college, to dorm. I wasn't. He's able to leave in the middle of the night, God knows where. Whereas I mean, I still did sometimes, but, like, I couldn't. Like, there was more disruption for that. And it's just like, you know, no one ever stood up to me. He benefited from the rules. So, like, why would he?
I think when you're a kid, you don't even realize what's going on. I think it's different, like, at his age now.
Yeah, now he was
saying some crazy stuff. There were so many things that, like, happened to my sister that I would be like, Mom, relax. Mom, it's not that serious. Mom, you know I did that when I was, like, 13. Mom, I'll buy you McDonald's.
That's all it takes.
And, yeah, I think more boys like realize that like how much power they have in just like talking to their mother and just like telling them to relax and say it's not that serious. And like I said in the last episode, it's just giving them a perspective, not even a new perspective, just a new voice in their ear.
Mm-hmm.
You could be saying the exact same thing your sister's saying, but a secondary opinion does wonders, yeah, for our parents.
Really stands in solidarity with the sisters instead of just letting them suffer. All right, let's do one last one. So someone said something that South Asian men can do better is not just accepting that yelling, anger, and short temper are just common traits that they are born with and that they have to live with and that their partners have to accept and that people have to accept. Fact.
Yeah.
There are a lot of angry men out there that just think that, like,
I'm a guy.
It happens. I'm a man. Yeah, I'm a man. I'm a it's also
it
like,
it happens.
You punch a wall.
Tear down their
punch
house.
Punch a wall. It happens.
I'm a guy. Day, I'm like, sorry.
I'm just a man. Day in the I'm life so of sorry. A man.
So,
it's like a lot of people, like, convince themselves that, like, just because, like, they punch down a wall and they're a man, it's normal, right? Instead of just getting, like, the help that they need. So it's like what's your take on that? Like, these men that think that these anger issues are innate and it can't be fixed.
I think it's important to remember that, like, I think anger issues are the default for men.
Mm.
Like, anger issues aren't the default for women. So I think there's a misunderstanding there. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying it's the default. I'm saying if you take a blank canvas of a man and send him through a normal life, who undergoes a bit of stress and doesn't have the correct people around him to show him otherwise, doesn't, you know, read books or engage in like the outside world, a majority of the time they're going to come out with some physical problems. I think that is the default of men. So I think if there are men that are still struggling with this, to have some more empathy for them, it's just maybe they haven't had the correct person or been shown the correct way as of yet. Not saying that they really need to, but sometimes they kind of do need a helping hand. Like, I think a lot of guys who are good now, they didn't just end up like just magically become good. Like, they had people help them throughout the way. And a majority of the guys that are like good now, they weren't good before. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, there are guys that are good their whole life, but majority of men are not good their whole life. A majority of men like come from a place of like messing up and not understanding. Like me, there was a lot that I didn't understand. I used to mess up a lot. I did a lot of things that I ridicule people like me for doing now. But I'm better now because, like, you know, I have firsthand experience of just how bad and dumb a lot of that is, you know. So obviously there
also you
like,
went to therapy.
I'm not even talking about the group of men that are just toxic. That's a different conversation. There are different groups of men to say different things to. I think a lot of guys that have anger issues just need the correct form of guidance and somebody, whether it's like the primary one is therapy, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right. It's not good. But a lot of men just come out short-tempered when they're stressed out, when they're anxious, and they will get better. But everybody gets better at different times in their life. I was super short-tempered when I was in, like, middle school and, like, a freshman in high school. I was really, really, really short-tempered. I used to punch my walls. I don't know if I told you. Like, I never broke my wall because my walls are concrete. But I used to punch my walls all the time.
You know, I used to punch my shower walls.
the hell's that doing?
Hey.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of guys are messed up, but a lot of guys are trying to get better, you know.
I hope. It's important to have empathy because obviously there are a lot of struggles that men go through that a lot of women don't go through and vice versa. But also at the end of the day, it should not be up to the woman to like coddle a man and force him into therapy and like wait for him to change and fix him, because I feel like we wait around too long for that to happen. So if, you know, if you're doing it for years and he's still not changing, then that's a sign for you to not be there with him anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. So.
Yeah.
As you guys know, we end our episodes with 10-second advice. You want to get started, fella?
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, I was having a really bad day yesterday. It was just one of those days where you know, everything was working against me. So Mashun does this thing where, like, he'll stop doing everything that he's doing and he'll dedicate that whole time to just me and, like, solutions to, like, how he can make it better for me. So we were, yeah, like, he was falling asleep because he does this thing where he wakes up at, like, Sehri time and then he stays up all the way until nighttime. So he was falling asleep, mm-hmm, but he was still helping me with my solution on how I can, you know, fix the problem that I was having. And he also does this thing where he has, like, a food love language. So, like, even though I'm fasting and, like, I wasn't hungry, he, like, insisted on getting me food. So, like, I wouldn't tell him what food I wanted because obviously I'm not asking him to buy me food because that's expensive. So he was like, either you tell me what food you want or I'm buying it for you, like, regardless of what you want. So then eventually he was like, hot or cold? And that's like, what craving are you having? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you. So then he lists out all the cold foods and then all the hot foods. And then finally we got two Domino's. And so he ordered me that. Did.
A little tip for, you know what would be a good episode? Mm. Like a tip for the boyfriends and tip for the girlfriends.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good one.
So tip for the boyfriends. Tip for the boyfriends, the South Asian boyfriends. If your girlfriend is telling you she's not hungry, she don't want food for lunch, she's lying to you. I know she says she's not lying. She says she's not hungry. She is the biggest, fattest liar in the whole world during Ramadan too. It's crazy. I know. It's really crazy. She's lying to you, okay? She is starving, okay? She wants a green tea boba. She wants a large pizza with spinach and mushrooms and chickens and jalapenos. And she wants some cheesy stuffy bread. And she wants some pecan pie.
Wow.
Get her all of
it. I don't know what you think we're made of, but that's not true.
That's actually my advice.
No, you can't use that as your advice.
Whether you're Muslim or not, do some zakat.
That's a good one. Give back.
Do some charity work this month.
Give back to the
community. Especially the Muslims, but like also not the Muslims. You know, if you haven't had like a reminder from somebody, say like, you know, sometimes we'd be forgetting that like charity's a thing. There's people without water, there's people without food. We'd be forgetting in America. There's a lot of people without them. So you had a reminder, send a quick little 5, send a quick little 10.
Yeah.
Send, you know, maybe one of your struggling friends, you know, the one of your friends that you know doesn't have too much money, go like be like, yo, like let me buy you lunch one day. Like
just, you know, that's a good tip because that brings me to my tip that inspired me. You know, I have something on my Linktree bio. I have a link to this app where you can sponsor kids in Bangladesh with their education. And currently I am sponsoring a little boy. He's in fourth grade.
Me too.
His name is
Me too.
Ridwan. And he's a little boy in Bangladesh. Wow. And we're supporting him because, you know, a lot of these children, they have to drop out to become child laborers to support their family. And education isn't a priority anymore. So I am supporting one child. I'm paying like $15-something a month to support his month of education.
It's nothing.
From now on. And also, I shared it onto my, you know, platforms. And now we got 24 people being supported. You know, we got their education.
I'm one of them.
Being sponsored. And it's just an amazing thing. So if you want, you can check out my link in my Linktree and all my platforms where you can support that. Or you can also look up your own country or you look up your own, you know, organization that you want to support. And it's really, it goes a long way with the little money that you have.
Do that.
But anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope this part 2... you know, really encapsulated the society in general and the toxic men in general. And I hope we got to a lot of the points that you guys made. We hope that we were helpful with the conversation starters and with our experiences.
Yeah, we were.
Let us know if you want something similar like this, maybe with like what South Asian men are good at. You know, a little positive twist because we know there are also a lot in the bunch. It's not just toxic and negative men, obviously, because we don't want that to define our culture. There's so many great ones. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you listen to this episode this far, they should comment the sponge emoji since we talked about SpongeBob. Thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. And Allah Hafiz. You.